Hello.
Hey, hello. Yes.
No, no. I hate this.
Why? It's okay. I mean, you have to evolve with the time. So.
No, I don't want to evolve. Okay, virus has evolved.
You fucking better evolve to kind of beat this bloody virus.
I mean, I can't believe this, that I'm going to have to do this for the next
on the
hour long we talk. This is going to be a short episode. Let's just decide that because, number one thing, I hate phone calls. Secondly,
Think of it as like a, I don't know, Skype.
See, here's the deal. When we record a podcast, okay, you know, there's some amount of upping that happens. Like, you're right there, I look at you, and it's a little, your base talking. You suddenly get a little theatric. Both of us, all of us, whoever records podcasts, we tend to play off each other's expressions. And,
of course.
But now, there's no way you can convince me that that's what's happening over a phone.
No, I know, but like, think about it. Like, this is like our... like, I haven't seen my therapist in like 2 weeks now. And this is like my only therapy right now. So I'm just like, I'm up for this. So let's talk about the only thing we should talk about right now, which is the lockdown. I mean, we are sequestered.
You know, this whole, I'm so glad you started with the therapy thing because I felt like I need to go because, quickly note down, you know what kind of shit has been going on in my life. You'll get to it eventually. But apart from that, just in terms of, I lost both my freelancing gigs. I'm jobless. All my savings are spent trying to save my cat from critical jaundice. And I am suddenly just like, in some way, I'm okay also. This is the kind of situation that would really make me so anxious that I would need medication to calm down. But what has changed this time is the classic, I think, misery loves company because the whole world has gone to shit. So I suddenly feel kind of okay that everybody is going through shit. I know that's a terrible thing to say.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, at least everyone comes from... Like, you know, I say this, I remember telling this to one of my closest friends, I think last year when I was at like a rock bottom of, you know, when it came to my mental health. And after I started taking therapy, I kind of reached out to this friend and we were just generally talking. And she said, why didn't you ever tell me? So I said one thing very clearly. I said, you know what, because you never told me what you were going through. It's almost like I never want to be looked like, I never want to talk down perspective when it comes to any shit that I'm going through. I want empathy. I don't want sympathy. And because you were not telling me that, hey, because no one's life's perfect. And I'm not...
As if she wasn't telling you stuff from her life.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So how are you? Oh, I'm absolutely okay. And everything's absolutely like A-okay. Now, if someone's A-okay, I just don't feel comfortable sharing my shit with someone who's that okay. Because I feel like they'll never get my perspective. And
I get what you're saying, but I felt like she was just putting on a brave face.
No, of course. I know that.
Telling her stuff.
But this is someone I know for like out of my 32 years of existence, we've known each other for 17, 18 years. So that's what, like, and of course, like, then she sort of said, you know, I get your perspective that, you know, of course, there was shit that was going on in my life, but I was like, and what you said, I didn't want to burden you with that while you're going through all of this shit. But that's the thing, when I think this has been like an equalizer in so many ways. Yeah. And and I know this comes from a little bit of privilege because equalizer, sure, but like there are definitely people who are facing a hotter brunt of this than most
people. Absolutely. That's the thing, right? So right now, I'll tell you one of my biggest anxious points or anxiety triggers is, oh my God, how am I going to make rent next month?
Yeah.
But right now, with everything going on and I have this coronavirus context to it, the moment my brain goes, oh my God, how are you going to pay rent next month? My brain also goes like, hey, but there are a trillion people right now who are going through the same shit.
Yeah.
So suddenly it's like the buck stops right there. You know? And it's so funny, you said 17, 18 years and I feel like all of us are going through some weird short-term memory kind of thing because I literally don't know what we all were talking about before coronavirus. I don't know what happened before.
I have like, lost count of days. I have lost count of what day I'm on. Same. I don't know whether it's a Sunday or a Saturday. And it's just, and honestly, and I again, I thank the little bit of privilege that I have, but honestly, my work and my routine is keeping me sane. Like, I live alone and I have like...
I'm going to hang up right now.
I haven't had no human contact in the last 18 days. Like 18 it's, days. 18 days ago.
The opposite for me.
18 days ago, I have I told my maid, I gave her the salary in advance, and I said, just go home, stay safe, try and tell your other employers to also pay you and not tell you to come home. As soon as that happened, I was locked in. I was not even like stepping out of the house. Like in the morning, I would just keep my kachara outside. That's it. And I wouldn't, like, I haven't seen human beings except for on a screen. And initially it was all just very, ooh, like this is fine. You know, I built myself up to this point. You know, this is what all my,
you know, I was like, all the pushing.
All the pushing people away.
Because fuck you, I was preparing for this. You
know, all the years and years of pushing people away. I think this is what it's kind of built me up for. But 10 days in, it really starts getting to you, and you like the only thing you're seeing is your walls, and no matter how
on every level, it's a mindfuck. Yeah, even right now, this what we are doing right now, that I like, we are doing this over a phone call. Secondly, your voice is breaking a little, but I'm not bringing it up. But again, it's like on the frustration is on that level. That's something
I can just imagine.
The number of things we might have taken for granted, whether it's like fucking mustard seed, right? Yesterday, I wanted to make a Bengali fish curry, but I literally did not have mustard seed.
Yeah.
So my first thought was, you know what, at least banyas are open. Let me go get mustard seed and come. And so I called my banya beforehand. If he's open, and the first thing he said is no, the cops came and shut them down. And then I'm like, wait, what? So now I can't get mustard seeds, so I can't have the fish curry that I want.
The one good thing in my life right now, like even that. I mean, it's just, but you know what? It's what I've started doing is, and again, I think 10 days in, I think last Tuesday or Wednesday, I think the day this, the first day of the lockdown per se, when it was announced that it will go on till 15th of April, that's when I spent the whole day kind of just very like mopey. I was sloppy, like looked like a slattern, like I didn't want to change out of my, you know, night clothes. And then I was like, you know what, you need to figure this shit out. And what I did was I set a routine for myself where I wake up sharp at, so basically my routine kind of mirrors what it would be on a day-to-day basis, except that there is a cleaning and a you know, laundry and all of that which my maid would have done. So so essentially I wake up, I work out, and then I clean, you know, I clean my apartment, jhadu, pocha, and then do the dishes. And then for a solid 2 hours before my work starts, I sit and make some kind of art. So it can be...
Some kind of art.
Art. So it can be, I make compositions of textures and take photos of it, or I paint a canvas. I either write like some piece of poetry, so something that I basically create. And then the most important thing, if I'm at work, what I do is I take a shower and I dress up for work to the point that I'm wearing shoes at home. Like I wear shoes. So it makes me feel like, hey, I'm going to work. And it makes me feel like, yes, this is business. And at the end of the day, it also makes me feel like, okay, now the day needs to end. So I need to shut off. I need to tell people that, guys, I'm done for the day.
Yeah.
So that kind of...
Because I'm sure that's difficult to do it for working.
Yeah, because like, it's
a Saturday. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. Saturday.
But tell me something. And are you going through this? Because I know so many of my friends who either have people who work under them or have always wanted a work from home type situation.
Mm.
And now that they have it, they suddenly feel like it's the worst.
No, absolutely not.
But that's because you've absolutely got routine. You just said about how you got routine in your life.
Yeah, so that's what it was very important for me to also set it up for the team. Because the first few days, honestly, it was, I'll be very honest, it was disorganized. Like first 2 days, everyone, no one would come on call. I'd be just...
We took 2 days to figure out our phone call, right?
Yeah. So once I figured that out, we started using this, and the best thing out of this has been all work conversations have moved off WhatsApp. Into
you gonna say house party?
No, please. House party is house party. House party is fun, honestly. I love house party that way. It does the job, yeah. But anyway, coming to that, there's this software called Teams, which is essentially Teams. It's a Microsoft app, and I used to resist it all the time. But I swear to God, this is giving me so much peace because I don't wake up with work messages.
Okay.
So no one's constantly messaging. So basically people open Teams when they are at work and they shut Teams when they're off work. So as a result of that, you also open it and shut it only when you're at work. And as a result of that, people have stopped feeling the urge or need to message at like 2 a.m. in the morning and you know, someone who wakes up at like 5:30 won't wake up with like a shock saying, oh my God, this also has to be done. So it's brought a sense of a very organized routine into everyone.
You know, it's so funny you say that. Another friend of mine, she told me about how this whole work from home situation has brought everything that was wrong with work culture also to light. Like she said, like suddenly she's finding it vague. Different people have different stories, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, when you said earlier that, you've been isolated for 18 days, it's been the opposite for me because even though I could have chosen self-isolation, but I could not because, again, context, my cat developed a polyp in a very, it's like a 1 in 50,000 cats get this. Like, that's the statistic that gave me. Mm. He basically, first of all, people get kidney stones. My cat got a liver stone, which is extremely rare. Mm. Secondly, he got the stone at a point in his body where it's, even if it was 1 centimeter over or 1 centimeter niche, he told me it would have been totally fine. But he got it at a point in his body where his bile duct, his abdomen, this, that, they all meet. The stone happened right there.
Mm.
And then it burst. The stone burst inside. Okay, but I'm not going to get into all of that. But long story short, suddenly he needed critical care.
Mm.
And it ripped my life apart because what happened was this whole conversation about corona, quarantine had started seriously. It's been on for a while now, but when it started seriously, I thought, hey, you know what, if you're going to enter a lockdown, let me just go for a regular checkup. I actually took my cat just for a regular checkup. I did not know. And suddenly the vet was like, holy shit, something seriously wrong. I'll tell you what happened though. My cat's not a meower, but he was meowing a little, very little. And I found that weird. And something in my brain luckily said, you know what, just go to the vet before if this goes into quarantine. And I took him and boom, suddenly the vet is like, this guy needs surgery right now or he's not going to make it. It became one of those situations. And then I've been having to every single day, I have to get into a rickshaw, go to the vet clinic. Fucking 15 to 20 people come to this vet clinic in a day with their dogs, their pets. So suddenly I'm like feeling, oh shit, okay, I'm supposed to be isolating, but this is important. And I'm running into these vets. And the worst part, I have to go to a chemist at least 20 times a day to get this medicine, that saline, this, that.
Mm.
So I have not had the choice to self-isolate.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. It's been terrible. And then the thing is now that the cops have tried to get them to shut down. And can I tell you why everyone's like, on one level, I think the cops are doing a great job. I'm very pro this quarantine because the day this Thali Maggi butcher happened, Everybody, the moment it was done, got down in under my house.
Oh,
and
my
we
God.
Were behaving like it was Ganpati or something.
Yeah.
So they all started dancing. And I was like, you know what?
The
I
point,
can't believe I'm about to say point? This, but sometimes Indians, they start to get fucking mad.
No, but
you know what I mean?
I mean, just get the context. We are so myopic as a society. We never see the whole picture.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. And see, I understand even, like right now, so many people are like, you know, all these, what are they called? Like the people in Delhi and all walking for the hundreds of kilometers.
Yeah, the laborers, and the daily laborers.
I saw this video yesterday where there are like fucking thousands and thousands of people crammed trying to get home.
Yeah.
And I find that also so, no, I find that sad because, hey, these people are trying to, in that sense, it makes sense. You know, that, hey, this poor person, he has family somewhere, he's for whatever reason, you know. And then it annoys me that people are sharing that as, oh, we are going to die because of these idiots. And I'm like, no, you are fucking, that's privilege, you know.
Yeah, but 100%.
You don't know, this person is about to embark on, like, I've seen these videos of people crying while walking and eating after 3 days of walking. And I'm like, what the fuck, this is so sad.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, we have these types of idiots who are like fucking dancing under my building. There was someone roasting crackers, the Pawala is pressing in Goku, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, and then I see the cops, these new cop videos of them thrashing people with a stick, and I'm like, how the fuck can you do that? You can't hit someone.
Absolutely, yeah.
Maybe, because see, again, I've been roaming around every year with a fucking prescription in my hand. Because the thing is, suddenly if I get caught by cops, if he whacks me, I will lose my shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before, and they don't even ask. It's not like, they're just like, why are you outside? And they start beating up and what the fuck? But then, it's so complex. Because I feel like, yeah, but if there are people who are going to dance like this on the road, then you need a cop who's whacking.
Yeah.
Like, everything doesn't make sense, but it kind of makes sense also. It's a very difficult and confusing time right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was asking, and particularly for our community, a lot of us thrive on, you know, just mingling and, you know, and this is not to say hookups and stuff, but just generally, we have friends, we mingle with friends, that's what our chosen family makes things worthwhile. It's a very testing time that way because we're, at best you have a phone call in a day.
Yeah.
And, but I think, okay, and I know, again, a lot of the things that I'll say right now will come from a place of privilege because I'm like this optimist that way, like, you know. So I feel like this has the possibility in whatever ills it's bringing, but it does have the possibility this period.
To make us better people?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I get it.
Because I'm make us better people, make us, you know, like, there are so many peers of mine who I've heard saying shit like, when it comes to cleaning my bathroom, that too is my nail job. And I'm like, bro, like, you know, one day, and I remember saying this in my head, one day there will come a time when you will have to do it yourself. And I hope that happens to you because you will know that no job, is menial. And that's exactly what's happening to people.
But I can imagine how and why improvement happens because I'll give my turn, right? Sometimes you have to ask yourself the tough questions, like what you just said, your example. Now, here's the deal. I live with two other boys, okay? I don't know, it's been a while since you've been in a flattering situation, but sometimes I think the struggles of having, I know, but I have to face the struggles of living with two boys who are like, who don't rent space, who don't like clean up after them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And suddenly what happened was this situation is upon us, okay? I'll tell you where I'm going with this, and I'm just trying to come from a place of like, it makes me question who I am as an individual. Yeah? And suddenly, it's simple to me, right? Hey, the maid, obviously, we need to like, please, ghar pe rehna. And by the way, I've got one of those maids, the moment I go to ghar pe rehna, she showed up the next day still. She's like, ghar pe baithke kya karega main? And I'm like, no, you don't understand. You can't
Yeah, this is not exactly.
Even though she stays right opposite my house, and you know, it's not going to be. And here's the thing. She only works at my house and a friend's house. So I know it's not like, even though, oh my God, what if she gets it? But, you know, I'm not worried about all of that, but it's just right now the sensible thing to do is that, you know, like, hey, please do not take, it's not like your salary is going to be paid, all of that, but please just be at home. Yeah. Now the thing is, my roommates don't fathom that suddenly they have to pull their weight in the house. No? Whether it's like, I can't believe I'm getting into this, but like, whether it's like trimming the hair, little hair bristles left in the bathroom sink after shaving, or their dishes, or whatever, or if they cook and there's food all over the counter, and that's the thing, neither of them cook, their entire lives are Zomato Swiggy, and now suddenly they've had to fucking realize that, oh my God, you know, we have to cook for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? So you can imagine new cooks trying to cook the kind of
it's messy.
It's like, no, in fact, the other day, I saw my first cockroach in my house, and I flipped. You know, because the other guy, they're also the guy, sorry, I'm getting into this, but one last thing, they're the guys who, if they drop a potato chip on the floor, they won't like scoop it up and throw it in the dustbin. They just swish it to the side of the plate.
Oh my God.
Now, here's the deal. This is the part where I had to question myself. Where I started reasoning, you know what, actually, you can call the baby, you know, she stays right opposite. All the things I told you, I started seeing like, you know what, it's okay. And then again, that made me meta question myself, you know, Faraz, are you working like a classist secretly or an elitist or whatever, you know? Are you secret that you feel like, oh, it's justified because you cannot put up with what someone else is creating, you know what I mean? And it really, and in that sense, I had to rationalize with myself, and I feel like now I'm a better person. You know what I mean? So this is just one example. I can imagine everyone coming out of this. And even like whether what you said earlier, right? Like you realize early on that you have to have a routine. Otherwise, this goes only one way. Yeah. This is going to go into this whole depression. Yes, everybody is not already depressed or not. But in my case, everything that I enjoyed before quarantine, okay, it's suddenly so boring to me. I can binge watch something for like 12 hours before, but now if I have to do it, I'm like, kitna dekhega, how much, it's like endless, you know, the stuff you can watch. Luckily, reading is has amplified in my life again. I'm reading a lot again, but I'm just like, yeah, nothing, every, it's just, I just hope, what I'm optimistic about, is this is a great lesson for especially gay boys, hello KBCB, is I hope this is a lesson or in some way what's the word I'm looking for, in some way a way to for boys to be okay with being alone, you know what I mean, or being by themselves. I really hope that's one thing that happens for a lot of people because I am okay. I have always taken pride in the fact that I can live alone. I don't want someone around me. I love it. And in fact, I'm just alone. All of that. But I feel like other boys don't have that. They constantly feel like they need someone around. They need to be in a relationship. And they need, and I hope in some way or the other, I'm optimistic that this whole quarantine situation at least brings that to the fore and just forcefully wrestles you into submission with being alone. Basically. Yeah.
No, and one is that. One is, you know, the internal journey, which is very, very important. The other, I feel, the other thing that I'm hoping, and I'm seeing that happen a lot with clients, with other agency people, so to say. There is a lot of empathy because this is such a new thing for so many people. Imagine people who have kids. Imagine couples who have kids and they have to work from home. I mean, the first few days I remember there were people who were saying that, you know, I don't know how to handle this because in the middle of a meeting, if my child needs me, I don't know what to do. I don't want to be someone who's unprofessional and let my family get in the way. But on the flip side, what's happening is everyone is being a lot more empathetic. If you need time, if you need a 15-minute here and there, if you need an hour somewhere, the only thing you need to do is just plan for it. Communication is important. So I think that's making people a lot more, I think, easy. I think once, I'm the eternal optimist, but once things sort of get back on the floor, I think people will be far kinder to each other, far more,
I get it. Compassion, understanding.
Yeah, accommodating.
Absolutely. Even me, like, I don't know, just whether it's like a basic, you know, the rickshaw guys, for example. I'll tell you, you've lived in Pune. You know, one of the worst things about Pune rickshaw transport is to go for 5 minutes away, they'll be like 400 rupees. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I used to loathe those guys. Like, so much so that I used to be so acidic about Pune rickshaw drivers in my head. They are one of the few people that deserve the kind of hate that I can achieve, which is, I hope you don't get a job ever. You know, I would think things like that. I hope you die hungry, you know, because you're a fucking swine. Let's start there. But now what's happening is, again, because I've been having, I have to have so many fucking trips to the vet. I was reliant on rickshaw drivers for so long. And suddenly when people stopped going to office, I started noticing they were like, it'll be 20 bucks extra, it'll be 50 bucks extra. And I was okay because I suddenly realized, hey, I get where you're coming from. You know what I mean? I understand that... you are fucking feeling the full brunt of this too, worse than me. So much so that it's so commonplace. While I'm in the rickshaw, the guy was talking to his wife and pagar ye time nahi aayega. I heard that conversation. Then I heard another rickshaw guy who was like, I will get you your money as soon as I can. Like, it's there, you know, where these conversations, even that I'm not a part of, are indicative of how bad it is, you know, for that. And then what is 20 bucks, 30 bucks? You know, even though I might be fucking toothpaste tube squeezed dry myself financially, it's just like there's sudden instant empathy, you know? Okay, but before I forget, I have a great question my friend asked me the other day, and I want to ask that to you. When this whole thing ends, okay, do you think people will come out of it more reliant on social media or less reliant on social media?
In what way? Like, I think it's a very, when you say reliant, I think...
Reliant isn't, you, I don't know about you, but suddenly, you know how, like, I literally, okay, again, I'm just going to put it in a gay context, but my own usage of things like Grindr, Tinder, Bumble, Hinge, whatever, by the way, Hinge blocked me with no fucking excuse, which is, I just went to Hinge and it's like, you've been blocked. And I'm like, what the fuck? I have never... done anything to get blocked, but fuck that. All these apps, I suddenly know my usage has gone up. I read a lot of tweets and there's about people doing that. I know my friends are all dipping on Grindr and just having, and it's such, the conversations have become even more large if it was possible. Like, every conversation is, hi, what's up? Bored at home, bored, horny, bored.
And nothing to do. Bored. Like, obviously, it's never... It's not resulting in something.
Okay, I don't even ask people stuff. I don't even ask them. I just straight up, I'm like, hey, are you into sexting? And then I sext with them maybe because that's the only sex I can like kind of imagine right now. And then I'm like, okay, bye. I came on your ass. Okay, bye. I'm done. You know, like, see you. Coming back to it.
Yeah,
Reliance in terms of killing boredom. I don't know. I feel like it's better because open Instagram right now, the number of lives that are happening, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And I find it so funny, right? When people do these, this person is going live with this person. And I'm like, just fucking call another person. Call them on the side. Why the fuck do I have to watch your conversation? I'm being a little cynical.
Yeah, but like you don't need to watch their conversation. But like maybe some people would.
It's obvious, right? It's obvious. Because, come on, did you ever see this many lives happening on Instagram?
No, of course not. So, I'll tell you what.
Not that, even celebrities. Have you seen the kind of videos celebrities are putting on nowadays? I'm like, even they are bored.
So, here's the thing. Now, my reading of the whole context is this. Everyone is trying their best to find a creative outlet, find a communicative outlet. Because everyone is stuck in the same scenario. And if you're opening it up to, like, I'll give you an example. Whenever I, like, nowadays every single brainstorm that I'm doing is obviously on like this Skype or like Teams and stuff like that. I insist every single time I get on call, the first 10 minutes
everyone open their video and we just talk. We just talk. And I
look, wait, everyone what?
Everyone on video, because everyone usually keeps their video like shut. So I insist everyone keeps their video on. And there are times when I say, hey guys, this meeting, like the last meeting of the day, for example, this meeting, make sure everyone has a drink in their hand. And let's just talk for the first 15-20 minutes. Let's just talk, chat. So everyone talks about themselves. Everyone talks about what they did. I look forward to that. I really look forward to that. And I think it's just that, you know, it's, I mean, what do you do? What do you do at a time like this? When, and some people are trying to make a business out of this, I guess. So what you gonna do?
I can imagine.
But yeah, speaking of how reliant we will be, I feel we'll go back to a lot of things like it was.
Okay, maybe reliant was the wrong word. What I meant was when people end up hating social media or loving it even more is what I meant.
So I think part of the, you know, closure cycle is missing because on Tinder, Hinge, whatever, the conversation is never leading to something you look forward to. Because you won't meet. You won't be this person right now. So I'm not even initiating conversations. I remember this a couple of days back, I switched on Grindr. I forgot to switch it off. And in the morning, I had some 27, 28 messages. Yeah. And I wanted to, usually I interact with people who send like, you know, meaningful, whatever, conversation starters.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I'm not even going to bother because what are we going to talk about? Like,
dude, tell me about it. It's so boring. It's so boring. You know, because it's either just sex. It's because you know it. Because everyone's horned up a little.
Yeah.
Again, not generalizing in case that one person who always receives critique about, not all you guys are horny. Like,
yeah.
I get it, you know, because even I'm a little sexist like that. But it's crazy, you know. I went from feeling, a large part of the beginning of 2020, I was like feeling done with sex. Done with sex as in, I'm not going to go out of my way to like fucking, and out of my way means like involves even sending someone a fucking drop location. You know what I mean? Even that I find out of the way to hook up. If it's just someone I already know, we hooked up a couple of times, I could just talk to that like, hey, want to come over? Yeah, sure. Be there in 15. I don't mind that. Which is funny. Can I tell you something weird? There's actually one guy I hook up with. He stays in the building behind me. Okay, so it's like, you know, he's right there if I wanted to. And he messages me yesterday and he's like, hey, want to hang out? And I was like, you know, I would like to, but I have interacted with too many people in the last week. You know, I have not been able to quarantine, so it's maybe a nice idea or responsible of me to say no, you know. He's like, no, come on, I'm so horny. And now this is a person I've hooked up with a couple of times, so I'm like finding it tough to put him down easy, you know. Like, hey, calm down, you know, like, we need to be a little, as much as I want to do, even I really want a fucking major dong down my fucking throat right now. But you know what? Calm down. It's okay. And then he's like, okay, do me a favor now. I know your roommates smoke weed. You think you can just give me a couple of buds? And I'm like, what are you saying? Like, you know, why are you making me spell it out
in
different ways that we are supposed to not, you know? What are you saying? Like, I, as much as I would love to, it's so confusing. And that's the thing, I was feeling so fucking sexual. That should be a sexuality of its own. I was sexual in the beginning of 2020, and now this has happened. And now suddenly, lately, even I feel like I want to be the only bottom at a fisting orgy. You know what I mean? And that horny sometimes, because it sometimes horniness stems out of boredom. I have understood that, you know? And this is a very boring time for a lot of people. You know what I mean? I at least know how to process that, but I don't think other people do. And, dude, it's causing, I don't know. It's like, it's sometimes even that is making me like, yeah, gay guys will just be gay guys. Know what I mean? Can I tell you the weirdest conversation I had in this entire quarantine situation? This boy messaged me the other day, hey, do you want to meet up? I said, bad idea, you know, we shouldn't and all of that. He's like, no, we don't have to meet. just give me your address. I will masturbate on your door and go away.
What?
Yeah, he.
Are you kidding me?
What does that even mean? Like, I will have to wipe your cuffs.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? What if my neighbor opens the door while the guy's
Jesus.
But he said that, and I, you know, I found it cute. If anything, I found it, because I was trying to understand where he was coming from. Is it that funny that he just wants to go to someone's house, masturbate on their door, and he, oh boy, yeah. What did he mean? And he's like, no, it's just a turn on, and like, I don't know what else. And I try to, like, hey, it's cute and all, but please do not masturbate on.
Yeah, like, hello. It's, Jesus.
Oh my god.
No, but I'm a little, so the reason I got a little panicky, right in the beginning was, so we started working from home around the 12th or 13th, not 12th or 13th, I think 10th or 12th, yeah, one of those days. So, I started getting a little panicky because, I had a cough. And when all these symptoms and all of that, I hadn't read everything up. So I was like, if this mutates, if this kind of develops into something, I'd rather just stay home. I don't want to bring anyone else into it. So after that, I was just like, and I had sex with someone like 3 days prior. So in my mind, I was just like, oh my God, this is like contagion. It's like, I've never had an STD before.
Which was the worst idea? I watched that movie too. You also watched it?
Oh my God, yeah. No, but like I had watched it before this, like when the China coronavirus thing was happening. In fact, because before, you know, people started talking about the film, in my head it struck as, hey, remember Contagion? It's very similar. So I watched it anyway. But anyway, that for me, it was like, oh my God. So did this guy give me something? Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But thankfully, it was just like it wasn't a dry cough and like I didn't have fever, but I just got so skittish about it that I just stopped interacting. Like, no, there's no fucking way. There's no fucking way I'm meeting anyone before the 15th of April, at least.
Yeah.
It's
funny you say that because, I also just like before the first speech where, hey, India's in lockdown and all, I had hooked up with someone, and the thing is, again, I'm at the vets every day, I'm at the chemist every day, so I'm constantly like freaking out in that sense that I might catch something, you know, even rickshaw guys, right? Like, I don't know who's been in the rickshaw, and like, and we've elaborately discussed OCDs in the past, so you can imagine I'm like dousing my hands with sanitizer and not touching my, and all of it. I started going off the rails basically that I might get it. Even though it wasn't as bad as I'm making it sound. And around a week and a half ago, like suddenly I'm having difficulty swallowing. And my throat is hurting, and I'm like, what the fuck? I can't go to the hospital, because obviously a lot of hospitals are just, my flatmate, who had food poisoning around during this whole lockdown situation, it was so bad, we had to take him to Holy Family, and Holy Family said, no, can you believe it?
Wow.
They said, we can't take care of him right now, because we have like protocol, which I understand, but this guy was shitting his pants all over the fucking place. He was back in such a bad place. And luckily, again, my old general physician, we found him, we gave medicine, whatever. But I started freaking out because my throat started hurting, and I'm like, oh my God, is it? I wasn't worried. Like, I was like, no, I have a little bit of that mere ko nahi hoga kisi aur ko type syndrome. So I felt like I have not got it, but dude, my throat, I couldn't swallow jack shit. I couldn't do anything. And it was kind of terrifying. And then to make matters worse, sorry, I was like, why did I bring this up? All these fucking streaming ads for like the first guy is Contagion, and you know how on Halloween you watch a horror movie. I thought during a pandemic you watch Contagion. So I watched Contagion and then I freaked out, like, because it was so fucking freakishly prophetic in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, it's exactly what's happening in the world right now.
Absolutely.
It starts in China, it comes from a backslash pig, the way it travels around the world. I'm like, what the fuck? And you know it's a real movie if your main star cast is Gwyneth Paltrow, Kate Winslet, and they kill them. Like, yeah. Not even halfway through the movie, they're dead. Yeah, like, yeah. So you know this movie makes business. Because otherwise, you always feel like, ah, yeh toh main actor hai, toh bade marenge. But no, they just
missed it. Yeah, fuck that.
Kate Winslet,
like,
dead. Gwyneth Paltrow, so they just
first, like, remove right her the scalp. Yeah.
They remove her scalp, yeah. And I'm like, holy fuck, no, this movie. Fuck this. Like, what the fuck? But, I'm about to say this, but like, it's a weirdly fascinating time also to be a guy.
Yeah, I remember saying this to a couple of my friends, like, you know how there was BC and AD and now there will be AC, like, you know, after Corona, like,
you think society? I genuinely have difficulty understanding the depth or gravity of a situation.
I definitely think this has changed the world. This has changed society on the larger spectrum.
I can imagine. Because even that day my flat mate was like, oh my god, 20 years later we talked about kids and we said this. I was like, first of all, I'm not fucking having kids. There are people dying just because of that shit somewhere. Yeah. I don't know. Like, we live on a planet like that. So, no, not happening. And secondly, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, it's not that bad, you know? It's not that bad. In my head, I was like, it's not that bad. I know that's a terrible thing to say, considering thousands of people have died because of it, and all of this is slow the curve, and, you know, like, all of this is precautionary. I get it. So, in that sense, I can fathom or kind of understand the situation, but... I have a tough time still believing that this is something so much. Like, see, it's, I can't believe I'm about to give this example, but when something definitive happens in history, I know it's definitive if you remember where you were when it happened. You know what I mean?
Like, no.
Everybody knows where they were when World Trade Center happened. Where were you?
Oh, got it. Yeah, but why?
You know, like, there's always, because it's a moment in time.
No,
you
but that's what I don't think everything is a singular moment. The Holocaust is not a singular moment.
Sure.
Holocaust is an entire period. So it wasn't one attack. It wasn't one burst. This is an entire period.
What I'm saying is, when it happens, played out over days, and again, I totally get what you're saying about all of it. Obviously, I know that it's a moment in time, that too, but it's just like, I can't tell. Like, for example, how do I say this? Let's say, even grocery buying, right? I stepped out the other day to buy groceries, okay? And I was amazed at how many people were just roaming in this fucking in and out, even though I am one of them, you know what I mean? Hmm. They can also look at me and be like, what the fuck is this guy doing outside? And I'm looking at them wondering, what the fuck is this person doing outside? You know what I mean? And everything, I was micro-reading everything. Like, oh my god, that person in that corner coughed. Oh my god, this person touched that shopping cart, so I shouldn't take that. You know, I was there. I was in the matrix, like, studying everything happening around me. But for some odd reason, no matter, maybe it's some fucking handicap in my brain or what, I'm just not being able to truly understand this as a life-changing, serious event that will alter the course of history forever.
Oh, it has already altered the course of history. Like, it has already done it. Like, I'm my friends in Calcutta, for example, they were sending me videos from their local Kirana Dukan. So what they've done is they've basically taken two ropes. And they've taken two ropes, like the jute.
Oh, okay.
So they've created like a queue, and they've marked the distance. So people.
Oh, I know. And
these are like these enclosures essentially, where there are a lot of these chota chota dukan, and they are playing uplifting music because obviously everyone's down in their arms.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you've never seen before. It's things that you've never experienced before. Absolutely. So, I think forget about doing the job. Like, forget about the history being changed in the future. But I think it's already happened. We are in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So, while it happens, I think all we need to do is just find ways to...
And that's the thing, right? I was talking to my mom the other day. And now we live in Vimannagar, which is still a little like, it's quiet, it's on the quieter side near my house. We always had like trees and like birds chirping and all that shit that everybody, which my mom was talking about it the other day, and for the first thing I was like, hey, you don't understand how fishy it is when you hear those things in Bombay. You know what I mean? This is the first time, even right now, I wouldn't be surprised once we upload this episode. I don't know if you can hear it, but there are fuck tons of birds, like crows and shit.
Yeah, behind me.
Like, it's unheard of. In fact, so much so, I found it unsettling the first few days. Again, going out, like, in a rickshaw to the vet every day, I immediately started noticing little differences. Like, I'm veering into this whole climate-wise, how it's been a great, like, thing for the climate and mother nature and all of that. But, like, basically, I started noticing the quality of air is so nice and thin.
Yeah.
Like, I could, like, my usually clogged nostrils are a little more open. Even like that, my smell is better. And every time I live in Khar, and Khar still has some sort of greenery in that sense. Because the 18th road, 16th road, 17th road, every road has, like, tons of trees. It's okay, every 2 minutes I get a different flower smell while I'm just in a rickshaw going to the vet. You know what I mean? So,
you know, look at the sky. The sky is blue after ages.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
The sky is
and
blue.
The other day, oh my God, so the light that comes into my room, like sunlight, okay, it's lately been unusually bright. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is it so bright? Like, it's like almost, and because you've not been stepping out that much, I think that my eyes take a while, because I have weak eyes, I take a while acclimatized to like light. And it's happening to me in my motherfucking bedroom, you know, I'm into my room and I'm like, oh, it's so bright right now.
Yeah.
So I love all of it. I just feel like there's a learning. I don't know.
100%.
I on some level, I find it tacky when other people are saying shit like this, you know, where, oh my God, first of all,
nature,
though, I,
and all of that.
Yeah, you know, no, and I get it where they're coming from. It is a fact.
At the end of the day, it is a fact. Like, see,
an honorary scholar of WhatsApp University, my mother has these old dolphins have returned to Akiba.
Yeah, that is bullshit.
Dinosaurs are coming back, and oh my God, that Cro-Magnon man is back. And I'm like, calm down, mom. There's still rats scuttling under my bike.
At the end of the day, I think this is a reset button in a lot of different ways. In some good ways, some bad ways. I think climate wise and our environment, I think that way we are clearly seeing how good this has been. In other ways, I think we are still grappling how society is resetting, how our ways of working, our ways of communication, our ways of interactions, how those are going to, and a lot of this will also play out once once things are back, because I mean, I don't know how I'll react to people, like you know, I might come across as a little clingy, you know, once
I feel it again. I've had such, apart from me wanting to get tested up my fucking ass, another thing I've been feeling like, you know what? Once this is over, I'm going to get into a relationship. My brain's like, you know what? And again, I don't mean this, it's not coming from a place of, oh my God, I'm so alone that I need a relationship. No. I just see that I have some sort of better clarity, you know?
Yeah.
In terms of like, it's, I don't know, everything I'm saying is so like diabolical to me, because like whatever I feel 50%, and then I feel the opposite of that 50%.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because
I know what you
mean. It's such a mentally fucking stressful time. It's a mentally stressful time, but I also want to say the other 50% of me is kind of thinking with better clarity. You know, in terms of like, okay, this is what I need to do for work once this shit is over. Once this shit is over, I need to, you know, that kind of the delegating and segregating is happening, and I'm finding it quite therapeutic in that sense. Again, not therapeutic, but clarity on the
part.
But, okay, I guess we are just doing this entire episode without a break. We keep going, but I want to, another thing, do you have, this is something I heard, so many people are suffering, especially our LGBTQ bodies, stuck at home with toxic families, toxic partners, I don't know, whatever. And what, is there anything like you think that they should be doing in a situation like this? Because I've been reading, you know, the other yesterday I was reading about how domestic violence has fucking jumped. And,
Okay, so I find new perspectives thanks to, you know, a lot of younger kids that I work with. Mm-hmm. So one of the immediate things that we as an organization had done was we had told people that if you want to go home, do that urgently because flights will get canned and, you know, they will get... Mm-hmm. So you will be safer at home because, you know, obviously a lot of them are like 21, 22 years old. They don't plan groceries like someone who would, someone like, you know, who's 30 and would plan groceries. So we told, so a large part of our workforce is now home. And out of
home, and out of Bombay and back in the...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So one of the things that came up during just, you know, one of those catch-ups was a lot of them in their first week were just like, oh my God, my mom is just driving me nuts. My dad is just driving me nuts. Every 10 minutes they have to come and ask me, what do you want to eat? Like, I don't want to eat all the time. What is wrong with you? And then I explained one thing to everyone that, you know, the situation that you are in, where suddenly your space is invaded by like two or three alien forces. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your parents are in the same situation because there was a lack of you, and they've made their even for people who are in Bombay on a day-to-day basis, your parents, your mom, or whoever you live at home with, they get that respite from you. They get that respite from your you know, face, so to say. And now it's not happening. And if you just are a little empathetic and you just plan your life around in a way that you're not constantly in each other's faces, like find a way that you're in your room, maybe you figure how, what time to what time you will be in your room and not get in their way. And you tell them that, listen, this time to this time I'm working, so don't disturb me. And then again, find time with them because they are also worried. So find time to have conversations, interact with them so that it's not, you know, down in the, like, it's not a guessing game for them for all you know. So I think that's, I would apply the same methodology for people who are now home.
No, but I'll give you an example, right? I have a friend who, not very long ago, his parents found out, first of all. He did not come out to them, his parents found out. Yeah? They had a meltdown, like a proper meltdown. Means like the father tried to hit him, the mother went into where did I go wrong mode with your class coming out. Yeah? He literally had, like, over the years, he's tried to, like, figure out financially, work-wise, he's somehow managed to, like, find something but hasn't been able to hold on to it. And finally, he got out a gig 2 months ago, okay, he interviewed, and he got through, basically. And this whole coronavirus started, and, you know, he was about to be financially independent, figured out, moving out, and now suddenly, and he's going through like one of the most he was telling me this, and usually I'm amazing with advice, but I just did not know what to say because it's a new problem. You know what I mean? It's a new problem. You know, how do I explain that? You know what? Until you figure out, okay, let's say coronavirus did not happen, right? And he just lost the job. He was about to go out, but they canceled or whatever. They decided to go in another direction. I can at least give him that comfort that, you know what, something else will come along. But suddenly, the context is so weird that, you know what, the world is like burning right now. You know, you need to like just bear or your family right now or like get through. Isn't that such terrible advice for me to give, because we again always found a way to either fight what does not work for us or remove it from our lives, right? But right now there are so many boys and girls and whoever out there who are stuck in these horrible, nightmarish situations where they can't leave, or they're trapped for longer in the situations that they want to escape from.
I know it's very difficult to give, like, you know, concrete advice on such situations, because this is like no end in sight, like sort of a thing. Yeah. But what you can do at this point of time is take this time to plan things out, to plan your life out, to find ways in which you can create something for yourself. And create, I don't mean
art. Then the moment this shit is over,
Exactly. Haven't we all yearned for, oh my God, if I just had a couple of days to plan this out. You know, we've all yearned for that. If we yearned for that forever, this is our fucking shortcut. Like, this is where we do it. I think if we just keep that perspective, because that's what I've been wanting to paint, and you know, for the longest time, like a series of paintings I've been wanting to do for the longest time as a discipline. And while I'm disciplined in a lot of other ways, but this, I needed time to kind of, you know, let inspiration come to me and yada yada yada. But now that it's happened for me, I was like, let me just take this opportunity and do it, because it's standing staring at me right in front of me. If I don't use this, then I'm stupid. Then I'm not making use of, you know, this opportunity I've gotten right in front of me. So, I think that's, I guess, one way in which you can look at it.
Because that's the thing, right? We've spoken about this in the past, and our solution, and you always said this, right? Like, hey, first figure out financially how you can read. That also is off the table. But what you said is perfect. Like, this is a great time to plan. In fact, this is the best time to plan.
The best time to plan. The
best time. Like, and you know, like you said earlier, that whether it was just wearing shoes at home or something, you knew the little things you need to do to sort of not let this bog you down.
Absolutely.
I said, for me, the first thing, I know my brain, like I dropped this coin heavily in my mind, that the next few days are going to be so fucking grueling. And next few days, indefinite again. You don't know if this is going to become a 2-month, 3-month thing.
Of course,
It will always be my response to all the stress that comes towards me that will define how I deal with this situation.
Absolutely,
So, I have just, that's my laser focus. If I have to say the one thing that I have done consistently since quarantine, since the lockdown, since coronavirus, is that, hey, you cannot, because this will attack you on every level. And at least to me, like, whether it's like my OCD is flaring up like crazy, because I knew the first, I think I've spoken about this, one of my biggest OCDs is I have the classic hand washing OCD, one of the most common ones. And this is the kind of shit that can, and you, again, it sounds trivial to say, like to some people, they must be like, this guy's so fucking stupid, he washes his hands too much and he thinks that's problematic. But in my case, it can get to a point where I will start depleting my skin on my hands. You know, I will scrub my hands that much.
Yeah.
So I knew that I'm entering an arena where all of this is fucking justified. Whether it's like, oh my God, that person standing 100,000 kilometers away just cough. 1 second, I need to cough, sorry.
Oh, disgusting.
You know what I mean? Like, it has, so whether it's on an OCD level, financially, I knew I'm going to start freaking out. And to make matters worse, right enough, life threw a curveball my way. Then not only did I have to start, like, wait, I was anyways like, okay, I have to win my savings, so chalo, 1-2 months, 3 months, I can figure out, right, you know. By then, hopefully, this whole thing will blow over. But boom, suddenly life was a curveball, and I had to deplete all my money into just taking care of my cat. You know, so I have been constantly, like, again, you know, in the Matrix, when Neo figures out that he is the one, and suddenly bullets are coming and agents are fucking giving him karate chops. Like, then, you know, like, I knew I have to be that person right now. I cannot let even a single thing, whether it's like my roommates not cleaning up after themselves, or like, you know, me losing my only 2 gigs that I had, and understandably, right? Like, again, when I got the call that, hey, sorry, but you know how it is right now, so we are going to discontinue with social media for a bit. Mm-hmm. Now, had this happened without, like, the context of or whatever this coronavirus thing, I would have been like,
devastated.
Oh my God,
yeah.
Did I do something wrong? You know, I would have gone in that zone. But instantly, my brain was just like, I totally understand. You know, whenever if you need anything, let me know. I feel like that. I have made payments that have not come through from companies before that owe me money, have not come through. These are all terribly stressful things for me. But somehow, I'm just finding a way to be above that situation.
Yeah,
in that sense, if anybody, again, is listening to our phone call, if they can just, like, find a way to be a little above this situation for however long this is, you know, that's literally the only takeaway, I guess, from this entire conversation. When we decided, oh, let's talk about this quarantine, I knew, like, what's going on in my life. I kind of understood what you are going through in your life. But I really wanted to get into, and we are not even talking about how trans people are affected.
Of course,
reading about, like, again, how trans folk are like, my God, I can just imagine what they, I can't imagine what they are doing. I can't imagine. I won't even, like, be ballsy enough to say that I can understand it. No, I cannot. They are trapped in the wrong body. We were with the wrong family, on the wrong planet, where all of this is happening. I'm so fucking, my heart really goes out to
this.
It's such a terrifying time. But, like, again, response. It's your response. Yesterday, someone, you know, this guy wrote something so insensitive, and I just wanted to tear him a new asshole, but I just totally ignored what he said. But basically, he tried to give this whole spiel about, hey, I get where he was coming from, okay? His thing was, this is a trying time, so it is easy to slip into depression and anxiety and all of that. But it is, like, that's the easy way out. If you slip into that, you have to fight this and you have... And I'm like, no, motherfucker.
No, it's easier said than done.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's even easier said than done. You're just straight up fucking wrong about it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. So people who are like... And this is the thing. This is the time where you are... Are you cooking something?
Actually, I am. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. I just want to know, what are you cooking?
I'm actually making some ramen. Like miso soup.
Look at you. Oh my God. And I'm stroking my cat. Wow, this is actually not so bad.
Like, it isn't. See, like, we find our ways, right? We find...
cook ramen, I'm playing with my cat while talking, while we are recording our episode. Yeah, it's all a colossal shit show, but we are all in it.
Yeah.
We have different degrees and different service.
Yeah, I think one thing that we should just try and be a little, I don't know, cognizant of is if friends are reaching out to you, if you sense that there is someone who is reaching out to you, I think just take the time. On any other day, I would have said, your space is precious. But if you sense that, you know, there's someone who's a little desperate to kind of, you know, talk to you, take the time, because it's difficult for everyone. It's everyone's going through different shit.
And even those people will disappoint. I'll tell you why I'm saying this, Sunetro. Because I very recently had the most overwhelming sense of community I have ever felt in my life, which is basically the first diagnosis that I got for Squid was that this is extremely critical, and it's so critical that he requires surgery in the next day or two. Now, that surgery suddenly costs 1 lakh, okay? And I did not have a lakh, okay? And in my head, I'm like, I can't ask my parents because I have cut off myself from them financially at least. And God forbid, they'll say something stupid like, it's just a cat, you know? So why would you?
I don't even want to go into that.
I did not even want to go there. The vet is like, I was like, what are my options? And again, this is already when everything's starting to shut down and all my avenues, because there are NGOs, and I'm like, where the fuck will I run around right now figuring out 1 lakh, you know? And I made a simple post on Instagram. I'd not go through with it, because in the end, what I was told was, the mortality rate of this surgery, again, because of what my cat has got, is so rare.
Mm.
The mortality rate is 80 to 100%. Either they are on the operating table or 2-3 months after the operation will be there.
Mm.
So I am suddenly, again, from a regular checkup or a vet visit, I have suddenly gone to, oh my God, my son, my best friend, my fucking partner in crime is about to die, you know? But I'm not kidding. I just put out a post on Instagram that, hey, I might need to raise this much money.
Mm.
And due to the kind of messages and support I got, it literally, the first thing it did was make me angry that I'm such a pessimist and cynical man.
Yeah.
Because it was a non-issue in less than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I had friends, how much do you need? But I had a friend who just offered a lakh.
Mm.
You know, that's the level of, unfortunately, the vets immediately after we did a 2-day test told me that we cannot consider surgery because, again, 80 to 100%. So now it's a waiting game. Like, till my cat shows significant improvement, we cannot consider surgery or surgery might be off the table. So I had to, like, again, I'll not go through the process of, like, doing some crowdfunding or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But just do that. The compassion and the love and the, again, I use the term sense of community because it's something I'd entirely forgotten. People just came together in a span of 10 to 15 minutes to just be like, hey, you know what? I'm here. You know? Even if it was like, I can't give you any money, but you know what? I'll share it for you. You know? Even something as simple as that to a person directly saying, don't even worry about it. Just take the money from me. Don't ask
me. It matters, yeah.
Like, so that's, dude, it has, every time I'm sitting down in the past, it's like I'm tearing up the vision.
That's okay.
No, it's been such
we're all there.
Fucking, you know, it's been such a fucking traumatic time. And, you know, that's the thing. You know, even I was getting so irritated with myself because my way of dealing with all of this was humor. And I'm at the vet trying to be funny, even though, like, you know, I'm trying. And I'm like, I just knew I was not dealing with this the right way. It was too sudden for my, no matter how much I've matured and how much I try to keep a lid on.
No, nothing prepares you for this kind of
stuff. It was fucking suddenly traumatic, this whole thing. And the reason I'm saying all of this is what you said about talk to people and all of that. I'm saying those, because there were people who were like, hey, how's your cat now? And I'm like, hey, he's doing better. Like, he's starting to show improvement. He's not doing better, honestly. But he's starting to show signs of improvement and all. Cool. What you up to? And I'm like, nothing much. Okay, if you want to see a picture I took today, bam, aspic. You know what I mean? And suddenly I'm like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
What the fuck? And this is not one example, huh? There was one person while I was literally holding my cat's paw during an ultrasound, you know, I got a phone call and he's like, hey, do you want to do a video call right now? And I'm like, I just hung up.
What the fuck?
You know what I mean? So I'm saying that you might sometimes, I'm talking to that person right now, whoever's listening, that person who feels like it's all like shut, you know, like every avenue, every option or everything has just fucking put you in this corner where you feel like you cannot escape, right? Right from coronavirus to like even your friends, maybe, you know? We're going, because everybody's going to shit, but I'm saying that this is such a fantastic time to just be able to rationalize with yourself, learn more about yourself, question yourself, be yourself. Love yourself, hate yourself, everything. This is
like process everything. This is the perfect time to process everything.
It's a fantastic time to do all of that. And my throat is okay.
Well, let's call it a day for now, but I think I'm glad I did this. I'm really glad I did this because
same here. This is the most I think I've spoken.
Same.
We have this outlet at least, I really. And so little shout out to Kavita. Big shout out to Vodafone for not dropping this call.
By the way,
or it came a little smooth in terms of we don't know, because there were a lot of parts during this conversation where I felt like I couldn't hear you, but I did not want to interject because it is a podcast episode in the end. So, like, if that shows up in a recording, I'm sure whoever's listening will understand.
It's the least
of the things you can deal with of all the things you have to deal with right now. So, we hate this. This has to be a phone call, right?
Yeah.
But I just feel make it work.
Yes, and, absolutely.
You sign off.
All right.
Thanks for listening to me, man. What the fuck? You know, that's the funny thing. Had I known that this was a regular phone, because we don't have that, right? Outside of our podcast, we are not.
Phone
can I tell you something? Sorry. I'm just bringing this back up, like how stupid people are. Okay, but the other day a guy messaged me, "Hey, when a new KBCD episode's coming out?" And I was like, "We've taken a bit of a breather because of this whole coronavirus situation." Yeah. He's like, "Oh no, I'm so sad, and you guys are really this." Acha, I have a quick question. Have you and Shunita ever fucked? And I'm like,
wow.
You know,
wow. What a segue.
No, that's the thing, right? Like, right now, I feel everybody's a little stupid. And everybody's. But what I was trying to get at is, we both actually literally just do this podcasting, and we don't hang out that much outside of our podcasting. Yeah. We don't call you, I shouldn't call WhatsApp.
Exactly.
You have become that person in my life where I give you a download, and you give me an express download, and then we give other people the option to listen to our download. So I'm glad I have that with you. And I miss you. What the fuck?
I know. I guess in another couple of, 2 weeks, we shall be back at the studio, God willing.
Indefinite. Yeah. I just wish, and again, I'm not trying to be tacky or cocky or whatever, but I just wish, like, I love playing off your expressions and talking to you, and for the first time, that has not happened. So again, if that comes across to whoever's listening, if it comes across in, because it's been a phone call, just deal with it.
Please keep telling us what to talk about, and we will, we shall do that.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. All right.
I guess that's. I don't even know what day today is. What Saturday, Sunday? I have no idea.
Well, today is a Sunday. Yeah, today is a Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah.
Okay. Best. Have the best ramen. Have fun.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon. We'll record soon. And bye.
Okay. Bye.